a little comment on this letter from Paul to Philemon. It is one of the shortest. There's only one shorter document. It's less than a page in the New Testament. And the situation is this. As we know, in the ancient world, that society was built on a very broad base of slavery. Slavery was at least a third of the population, if not more. So Philemon was a slave owner who had been converted to this Jesus way by Paul, and he had a slave named Onesimus who escaped from Philemon, found Paul in jail. Paul talked to him. He became a follower of Jesus too. So now he wants to send Onesimus back to Philemon, not as a slave, but as a brother. In other words, to manumit him and accept him on radically different terms. And the reason I go through all this is it is the only instance of a bread and butter note in the New Testament. One of these little polite things. And Paul's sensitivity to Philemon is, I think, really striking. Okay, so we go from this kind of gentle environment to what seems and is in fact a much harsher environment, namely that passage from Luke. The language is very strong. Who does not hate his father and mother? Matthew has who loves father and mother more than me, but scholars believe that this is probably closer to the original text. Hate father and mother, spouse, children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself. The issue, of course, is that of relationships. How do we know who we are? We know who we are only in terms of the people we're related to and the way we're related to them. And, of course, the familiar relationships are the most primitive and I think the most enduring. I am who I am because this was my father and this was my mother and these are my siblings. Okay. What I would suggest as a reasonable reading of this thing is all of those people who mirror me to myself are also distorting me. My parents don't see me clearly. They see me because I am mysterious, for one thing, but they also see me, I think, in polar opposites as either sentimentally or possessively. And by that I mean they see me in such a way that I grow up in a somewhat self-indulgent fashion, or in a way that I'm constantly not measuring up to my parents' expectations of me. And usually it goes back and forth, back and forth, back. It's kind of a witch's brew of where this all fits. In any case, my self-knowledge is distorted. So Jesus says, when you come to me, I look at you in a way that is not distorted. I look at you in a way that's not sentimental or possessive. In other words, I love you better than and more perfectly than anybody else does. And in the light of that love, that unpolluted, if you will, that untainted love, then it is possible for me to come into myself truly as I really am. And so the cross is what? Is recognizing all those distortions in myself where I'm spoiled or tyrannized or both. And to withstand and to move out from under that onus in order to seek the freedom that only exists in the love of God. And that's why he ends up this passage also with possessions. What is the possession? The biggest possession, of course, is my sense of myself. That's what I possess most profoundly. And it's that sense of myself that I have to dispossess of myself of. In other words, where are we in all this stuff? Jesus is not around. in any kind of immediate way. If we look at the church, the Holy Mother of the Church, we again find distorting views of us. So what we're moved to is the most ardent possible search for God, for that kind of freeing vision of myself. Again, Paul puts it so well, who we are is hidden with Christ in God. And so we are, again in the words of Augustine, to pray, O God, let me know myself, let me know you.